8 years ago, ABC presented a nonfiction documentary series, Hopkins 24/7, which told very intimate, very real stories about the medical staff and patients at Johns Hopkins University Hospital in Baltimore. Tonight, ABC begins televising a sequel series called simply Hopkins, which our TV critic David Bianculli says is just as captivating. He also says that both the series and television have changed in the interim.
How different was TV back in 2000 when producer Terry Wrong presented his original Hopkins 24/7 series? So different that the term reality TV wasn't yet in widespread use. Survivor started that summer on CBS and jump-started the entire genre. But Hopkins 24/7, which peeked over the shoulders of doctors and nurses and gave us an unfiltered look at the way medical personnel work, think, react, and joke, was a different sort of animal. It had some narration, but no music, and it was intentionally, refreshingly adult. It didn't go in for sensationalism, which was why, in the end, it was so sensational. But now it's 2008. Not only has reality TV taken over primetime like crabgrass, but ABC itself has provided a new model for medical drama with its romance-heavy Grey's Anatomy. Hopkins, the sequel to Hopkins 24/7, is televised by ABC on the same night reserved for Grey's Anatomy, and that's no accident. Nor is it an accident that this time around, Hopkins doesn't have any narration at all, but does feature a lot of young doctors and residents, and even includes places for dreamy music and lyrics, just like Grey's Anatomy. So Terry Wrong and company have adapted to the shifting TV landscape, but they haven't sold out. They still hang around the hospital long enough and film enough footage to capture lots of interesting cases and find lots of interesting nonfiction stars. The very first one we meet, in fact, comes out of the blocks running. Or at least walking briskly through the hospital corridors, filmed by a handheld camera just like one of those frantic walk-and-talk scenes from ER. Except that this particular doctor, one of the country's leading brain surgeons, is talking directly to the camera and explaining his fascinating background as an illegal immigrant who jumped the fence as a kid to work the fields. Lou Dobbs, please take note.
20 years ago, I couldn't, not in my dreams, I thought that I was going to be doing this right here, obviously.
I was born in a small little border town between the United States and Mexico.
How are you?
And all I wanted to do when I first came to the United States is just to make a little bit of money, send it back to my family, so we could actually put food on our tables.
The only difference now is that I have got an education. I went to Berkeley, Harvard, UCSF, but I'm still the same person. Absolutely nothing has changed. I'm the same crazy son of a gun I was 20 years ago.
That's only one of many really captivating characters, real-life characters, not written ones, we meet in the 6 hours of Hopkins. There's also Brian, a heart and lung surgeon who's separating from his wife as the series begins. And Anne, who works in the ER at Hopkins, and with her West Virginia accent and feisty, unguarded attitude, could slip unnoticed into Grey's Anatomy, ER, or any other TV series seeking a plucky young heroine. You can almost imagine Lou Grant saying to her, "You've got spunk." But she's got honest human emotions, too. When she's driving in bad weather and passes a multi-car pileup on the side of the road, she covers her eyes and keeps on going. That doesn't seem like what someone on TV would do, but it rings as completely, refreshingly honest. Honesty, in fact, is the secret ingredient of Hopkins. Scenes involving Brian, the doctor with marital troubles, are almost too raw. We see his wife hovering nervously during a visit in episode 1, and listen to one of their 3 young daughters as she sobs contemplating the possibility of divorce in episode 2. But by episode 3, things have taken a turn for the better. Happy endings aren't always part of the mix, though. Some patients we meet get lucky and get that heart or lung transplant in time. Others aren't so fortunate, and we're witness to grief, mistakes, and horrifying decisions about life and death. On occasion, we see these doctors unwinding or filling time by watching TV. A spelling bee here, a Johnny Cash special there. They watch to escape, because most TV isn't brain surgery. But on Hopkins, part of it is. Or a dual lung replacement, where the doctor handles and describes the open-chested lung so casually, providing his own play-by-play, that it's a truly amazing display of confidence. There's usually one moment per hour where, if you're squeamish, you might look away, like the ER doctor on Hopkins passing that car crash. But for the rest of it, I promise you'll be captivated. Real life has better writers than TV does, and the stories are a lot less predictable.
David Bianculli is TV critic for Broadcasting and Cable Magazine and TVWorthWatching.com. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. I'm Terry Gross. We'll close with a song by the gospel group The Dixie Hummingbirds. The lead singer, Ira Tucker, died Tuesday of heart failure. He was 83. He sang with the Hummingbirds since the late 1930s. The group broke through to a pop audience in the 70s when they sang with Paul Simon on his hit Love Me Like a Rock. Here's the Dixie Hummingbirds recording Going On.
Now ever since I've been converted, I've been working for my crown. But the devil, he don't like it. He's been trying to turn me around.